for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Turn with me if you've got a Bible. If you haven't, then you'll see it up on the screen in a minute. Genesis 28. Genesis 28. We're going to preach on Jacob, and you might know this particular passage as Jacob's ladder. It could be better translated as a stairway rather than a ladder, but nevertheless, we're not going to argue over semantics and over words, but just to get you a framework there, Jacob's ladder or the stairway to heaven. If you're a Led Zeppelin fan, you'll know all about that. But this is so much better than Led Zeppelin's song. This is the truth of God's word. Genesis 28, we're going to read from verse 10 through to verse 17. It says this: Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it, going up and down on this stairway. And there above that stairway, there above it stood the Lord, and he said, and he began to speak in this dream to Jacob, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Isn't that wonderful? When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Wonderful piece of scripture. I've got a title for you this evening, and it's simply this: Virtual Reality. Virtual Reality. This phrase, virtual reality, it's come into our vocabulary, isn't it? We use it, and it's part of conversations. It's the advent of all kinds of computerized technology that has made it possible to recreate the sense of real places, real events, and real experience that are virtually real. In other words, they're almost real, but not quite. You can put on a contraption and you can link it up to a computer, and you can be anywhere in the world at any time and in any generation, and you are in that place of virtual reality. And we can think of another term of using the word reality. Think of reality TV, which of course is something that is contrived, it's manufactured, and it's made to look like reality, but in fact, it's so far from reality. We apparently now live in a post-truth world where fake news reports mingle with the truth and it all becomes just a bit of a blur. What is reality? What is the truth? Who's telling the truth these days? Rhonda had a conversation with an elderly man just outside prayer space this week. So there was two grey heads together. And as the conversation went on, this elderly man said to Rhonda, "You know, I go around charity shops singing." And he insisted in all seriousness that he was in fact the second best singer in all the world, next to Daniel O'Donnell. But however, he did insist that he really, really was the best football player in all the world. And he followed that up with an honest, as he crossed himself. Now, there are times when you just got to allow some people to inhabit their own sense of reality. But when it comes to the things of God, we need to know the reality of who He is. We cannot manufacture for ourselves a virtual reality. We cannot contrive and manufacture a sense of the reality of God's presence. We can't do that. It's not possible for us to do that. We need to know not only that God is real, but we need to know His reality in our lives. Virtual reality is not enough. Contrived reality is not enough. And pretend reality is not enough when it comes to the things of God. We need to know Him. We need to know the reality of the living God in our lives, in our Christian community, and in our wider community. Not virtually, not almost, but in reality and in truth. And that's what we see in this story of Jacob here in Genesis 28. You see, the question isn't even, is God real? That's not even the question. Because Jacob, at this point in his life, knew that God was real. Many people in our community know that God is real. Hey, listen, the demons know that God is real. And they shudder. They quake in their boots, James tells us, because they know that He's real. And they not only know that He's real, but they know the reality of God. And there is a huge gulf between even our sense that God is real and the reality of His presence. You see, we can believe in God, but that's a million miles away from believing God, isn't it? And the question for us is, how real is God in our lives? You see, in Genesis 28, we see Jacob, and he's a man, and he's on the run. And we know that Jacob is aware that God is real. He's been brought up in a situation where he's heard the stories. He knows the reality. God is there. And yet here we see him in a far off place. He's on the run. And there's a couple of things I'd like to point out to you that we might obviously just miss because they don't even seem to be really a major part in the story. But there's a couple of things here. The first is this. It says, when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night. Just a certain place. This place didn't even have a name. It was just a place. No name. Nothing special about it. A nowhere place. An insignificant place. Just a place. With no name. Nothing to give it any significance whatsoever. It just wasn't an important place. It was nondescript. Another thing in this story we see is that Jacob took a stone for a pillow. You ever wondered about that? You might end up in some hotels and you think, man, that is, you know, talk about Jacob's ladder. But it kind of seems a bit bizarre. Why would he take a rock for a pillow? What is a writer trying to communicate to us? He's communicating what happened, but why is he saying he took a rock? It seems a bit bizarre. One, he was in a certain place, a nondescript place. The second thing is that he had nothing. The only time that you will ever use a stone for a pillow is if you've got nothing else. If you've got absolutely nothing else to use, you might use a stone. He was in a nowhere place. He was on the run. He had nothing. And then there's one other little phrase. It said the sun had set. The sun had gone down on this man. I don't know, you might know this song. I'll not sing it to you. Don't let the sun go down on me. And there's a wee line in the chorus, it says this: don't let the sun go down on me, but losing everything is like the sun going down on me. Here is this man, Jacob, who knows that God is real. He's on the run. He comes from a wealthy family who, if you like, a religious Christian family in that sense, but he is on the run. He has nothing, and he's laying down between a rock and a hard place, literally, and he's staring up into the darkness of the night, knowing that God is real, but somehow thinking God is distant. God is not with me. God is not here in my brokenness. He's not here where I am. He's not near me. I'm not aware that he's here. I know he's real, but he's distant. And it seems like heaven is distant as he looks up into the night sky. And he sees the stars shining ever so brightly. He's a man on the run. He's running from his brother. His brother wants to kill him. Jacob was a con man, brilliant con man. Conned his brother, robbed him of his inheritance. But it really wasn't supposed to turn out like this, was it? Don't let the sun go down on me. He's on the run. You know, recently I was in a local bar having my fresh orange and lemonade. I always have fresh orange and lemonade just in case anybody thinks I'm drinking anything other than a nice soft drink. And I go there to connect with people. And as I was connecting with the people, being very gentle, sharing faith, not being overbearing, absolutely I wasn't. All of a sudden, out of the blue, the guy slams the bar. And he says this: this is a place where people come to escape. Basically, change the subject. Stop speaking about God. We retreat into places like this to get away from people like you. And now you're coming and you're invading our space. And you're dropping this into the conversation and that into the conversation. Stop it. This is a place of escape. You know, the sad thing is, it may be a place of escape, but it's only postponing the inevitable. That every single person who is running from God will at one time stand before him. With no place to escape, with nowhere to run. And yes, he may slam his hand on the door, on the bar counter, and protest against the invasion of his space and close the conversation down. But there will be a day, you see, because there is no escape. In fact, the Bible says this: how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This is the crushing regret of every single person who has ignored and rejected the good news of Jesus. This will be the greatest reality for every single person who has rejected Christ throughout all eternity. The reality of eternal regret. That is a horrific thought. Is that not horrific? Do we know the reality of that tonight? Or is this merely real? It's merely real to talk about hell, but we don't know the reality of it. May the Holy Spirit help us. We need his help to make the things that are real a reality. So Jacob, a man on the run, a man with nothing, in a nowhere place. The sun had gone down upon him. And Jacob literally lay down to sleep between a rock and a hard place, knowing what? That the future looked bleak. And it was never meant to come to this. The message from Jacob's life is clear. Be prepared to encounter God anywhere, anywhere, in any circumstances, even when you're on the run. Isn't that where God met you? If you weren't a Christian, when you weren't a Christian, God intervened. God was on your case. God was stalking you. God was following you. The hound of heaven was after you. And you try to get away from Christians. You try to close the conversation down. You try to escape. But he had his hand upon you. And there was no way to escape. And we thank God that he didn't give up on us. Even when the sun goes down on your hopes and your dreams. Even when all you have to rely on is the dirt beneath your feet. God can meet you there. God can meet you in that dark place. That's how we came to know him, in that dark place. Now notice what Jacob does to enter into this wonderful experience with God. Well, what does he actually do? What is required of this encounter with reality? Well, what does he do? The short answer is not very much. Apart from going to sleep, he goes to sleep. And God meets him and speaks to him and convinces him of his reality and of his presence and of his promises to Jacob. He did nothing to enable this to happen at all. You see, this is the whole thing of Christianity. And people think, well, I can't come. I'm not good enough. I couldn't keep it up. I couldn't live that way. I couldn't. Listen, it's not about what you can do. Jacob went to sleep. You can't get any more inactive than that, other than death. And God invaded his space. God invaded his mind and began to speak to him in this dream. And he saw this vision of the stairway resting on earth, touching heaven, right where he was, lying in the dirt with a rock for a pillow. And God pulls back the veil. God tears back the curtains and says, look, Jacob, this is reality. You think it's dark, you're despondent, you're discouraged, you're lost, you're running from your family. You don't know if you'll ever see your mother and your father again. Your brother's out to murder you. It's pretty bleak. But you know, there is another dimension to reality, people. And we need to see it. We need to know that the Holy Spirit can pull that curtain back. What is it that you're facing? Are you sleeping between a rock and a hard place? Are you in that place of darkness? Are you in that place of you're on the run? Well, God can pull back that curtain and let you see a reality that will blow your mind and transform your life forever. He did nothing. This is called grace. This is called amazing grace. He fell asleep knowing that God was real but distant, and he woke up knowing the reality and nearness of God. What does he say? Look, verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely God is in this place. And I wasn't aware of it. I didn't recognize it. But he was here. And he was here all along. I will never leave you. I will never, ever, ever forsake you. Oh, we may not always feel the nearness of God, but we need to know the reality of those promises. Because he said, and do we believe him or do we not believe him? Is it merely real? Oh, we will never deny the promises of God. They are real. But are they reality? World of a difference. You see, we can create our own virtual reality, even as Christians. Make a virtual reality. Almost make-believe world. And escape into it. But it's not real. It's virtual. It's almost real. So what is it that we need? We need an encounter with God. We need an encounter with him. Have you ever been in a situation, even in a church amongst Christians, when you just sense there is no awareness of the reality of God in the house? Have you ever been there? Where people are there. They're rhyming songs. They're going through a form of religion, but denying the power. Saying the right things. Singing the right things. But it's as dead as a dodo. That's unreality. It's knowing something that is real, but not knowing the reality of the real. Isn't that what we pursue as the people of God? To know the reality of God. Not only to know the truth. Not only to believe in God. But to believe God. To know he's here. To believe that he's here. You know, Jesus went to his hometown. And he couldn't do many miracles because of unbelief. There was a sense in which unbelief promotes unreality. A sense of dismissiveness to the things of God. Jesus was the healer. He was the Savior. But to an unbelieving heart, that is unreal, unachievable. and it needs to be closed down. That's the unbelieving heart. But suddenly Jacob awoke. Do we not need to awake? Have I put you to sleep? Do we not need to awaken? He's here and I didn't know it. Have you ever spoken about somebody and you didn't know they were in the room? And then all of a sudden you were aware that they were in the room. Maybe your conversation will change. There is a certain reality when you are aware of the presence of God. And he awoke. I was not aware that God was here. And it says in verse 17 that he was afraid. He was fearful. Not in a slavish way, but in the most deepest, honoring, reverent way. Yes, a healthy fear of God. Where is the fear of God? The fear of God and the reality of God go hand in hand. They are together. If there's no sense of the reality of God, there will be no sense of the fear of God. If there's no sense of the fear of God, there will be no sense of the reality of God. Oh, that God would awaken us. And that it would awaken us to a new reverence and fear and respect and honor for his holy presence. And he says, how awesome is this place? How awesome is this place? How awesome is our Sunday night meeting? How awesome is it is for us to be here? You see, that can either be a figment of our imagination. It can be real in the sense that, oh, there's potential for that. Or it can be, that's the reality. He's here. I know he's here. And he's here to bless. Jacob woke up. And here's the thing, folks, as I close. This was the first time that Jacob had truly encountered God. But it wasn't the last. It wasn't the last. And there's a lesson for us. Just because we encounter the reality of God and it's so real for us in that moment, and we think we will never, ever forget that, strange thing is that we do forget that. It does wane. Oh yes, we'll have recollections. And yes, we may even treasure those memories and those experiences that we had many years ago. But it doesn't have the same impact and transformational effect in our lives because they are merely memories. Jacob experienced the reality of God's presence. His eyes were opened. He awoke from his sleep. But he wasn't perfected. He wasn't perfected. And this is where we need to give each other space and room. You may have encountered Jesus, you may be saved, but you know yourself, you're not perfected, are you? You're not perfected. You're on the road. And here is the whole thing for us, that Jacob understood that the gates of heaven were open. The stairway to heaven was open. That's a present reality. How does it come to be open for us? Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, the door of heaven was closed in the face of Jesus. when he went into that garden and he prayed, Father, let this your will be done, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And he sweat, as it were, drops of blood in the garden of Gethsemane as the weight and the horror of the cross and what he was about to experience for you and I, and the gates of heaven were being closed over his life. And as he hung on the cross, what was Jesus' experience? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why is the gate of heaven closed? Why is the stairway to heaven closed to me? My God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus Christ experienced the closed door of heaven so that you and I could experience the open door. That's reality. That's the truth. Forsaken, bruised, tasted death, entered into the realm of the excluded so that we could enter the realm of the included. The door was closed to Jesus in that hour that it may be open to us. And here's the thing in Jacob's story here. The stairway reaches all the way. All the way. It touched heaven and it touched earth. You know what? It doesn't, the stairway doesn't just come down 10 foot off the ground. And you know what? If you're good enough and you have great stature and religious prowess, And you're a really good person, you can just hang on to the bottom rung of that ladder and you can pull yourself up. That's not how it is. The stairway comes all the way to the ground. Whosoever will come, let him come. That's the gospel. And that's good news. And it's great news for every single person in this room. Folks, don't create for yourself a virtual reality. And there's many people creating a virtual reality when it comes to God as well. Oh, God will let me in. God knows what I'm like. God will understand. You need to come to Jesus. God knows that I'll be okay. I'll be fine. That's delusion. It's a self-made virtual reality. It's a made-up reality. Just like the second best singer in the world. But people believe their own virtual realities. That's the tragedy. I don't know about you, if you're a saved person, do you know Jesus tonight? Do you know him? Have you made up some sort of virtual reality? You might know the truth of what the Bible says, but you're different somehow. And you make up your own rules, and you make up your own, and you make up your own vision of what you think God is really like. It's virtual reality. It's delusion. The God of the Bible is holy and he's just. And there's one way to God, and that's through Christ. There's no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we come through him. We come through repentance and faith in Christ. There is a reality for you if you don't know him and you keep on rejecting Christ. And that reality is horrific. There will be no virtual reality in hell. The reality is awful, it's horrific, and it's eternal regret. Tonight, I'm calling because God is calling. Where are you? Do you know him tonight? Now come on, let's step across the line between believing God or believing in somebody to knowing him, to knowing him, experiencing his presence. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and ask you to truly to do business with God tonight. As we think about this man, Jacob, think about where you are at tonight. Where are you with God? Are you making up your own reality that is so far detached from the truth? Or are you coming tonight and you're saying, Lord, I want your truth to impact my life. I need to encounter you. I've been a man on the run. I've been a woman on the run. I'm in a nowhere place. It's dark. God, you seem distant. I know you're real, but you just seem so distant, and I'm in such dire straits. You know, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can convince you of the reality of God. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can convince you that God loves you, cares for you, is reaching out to you. The Lord is in this place. Maybe you weren't aware of it, but he's here and he's knocking at the door of your heart. And Jesus is knocking and he's saying, will you let me in? Will you open the door of your heart this evening and let him in? Let the reality of the glory of Jesus flood your life. Wash you, free you, transform you. And you'll know, surely the Lord is here. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Don't close down to the work of the Holy Spirit. Just pray something like this in your own heart. I can't put words into your mouth, but if you mean them and you're crying out to Jesus, then this may help you to come to him. You pray something like this in your own heart as you do business with God. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I am aware of my sin tonight. I'm aware that I'm a man, I'm a woman on the run. I'm in a hard place, a dark place, a nothing place, and I have nothing. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be the reality that transforms my life. And I'll follow you all the days of my life. Lord, let me know the reality of your presence. If you prayed that prayer tonight, I'd love to talk with you. Love to encourage you. Love to help you to be established in this new reality called knowing Jesus. Christians, let's not settle for a virtual reality. Let's not settle for mere religion and deny the power. Christians, let's press in to know the reality of the presence of the living God and share that presence with others. In Jesus' name.
And your love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.